In May 1964, about 6 weeks before the infamous murders of three young civil rights workers, a lesser-known hate crime was carried out and remained unresolved for more than four decades. Two young African-American men, Charles Moore and Henry D., were hitchhiking on the side of the road in Meadville, Mississippi. It's a town just on the outskirts of the Hamachido National Park. The men were picked up by a Klansman named James Ford Seal. They were taken to the nearby forest, tortured, and then driven down to a tributary of the Mississippi River, where Moore and Dee were forcibly drowned. Writer Harry McLean picks up the story from here.
When the bottom half of Charles Moore's body was found hung up on a log by a fisherman in a back chute of the Mississippi River 30 miles north of Natchez, over 250 FBI agents were in Mississippi on J. Edgar Hoover's direct orders, scouring the countryside for the three civil rights workers who had disappeared after being released from jail in Neshoba County. Law enforcement and the national media hustled eagerly to the river, only to be disappointed when the body turned out to be one of the missing black youths from Franklin County.
The murders of the three civil rights workers, Michael Schwerner, Andrew Goodman, and James Cheney, were headline news for months, and a quarter century later, they became the inspiration for the movie Mississippi Burning. But the case of those other two men, Charles Moore and Henry D., languished, that is, until 2007, when a federal court in Mississippi tried and convicted James Ford Seal for their murders. Harry McLean actually moved to Mississippi to chronicle that trial. It's the basis of his new book, The Past Is Never Dead, and Harry McLean joins me from KCFR in Denver. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Harry McLean, you write that this trial that began in 2007 wasn't just the trial of James Ford Seal, but the trial of the state of Mississippi. That state was on trial.
Well, this was Mississippi's eighth trial of a former Klansman for murders that took place in the 60s. And in a larger sense, you can see that Mississippi is trying to redeem its past many ways, but in this particular respect, by going back and kind of cleaning up these old race murders that had taken place and had lain unprosecuted. So Mississippi was kind of on the line itself, as well as James Ford Seal.
Harry McLean, let's go back for a moment to 1964. Seal was the original prime suspect. He was even arrested and then let go. In the face of so much evidence, there were witnesses and others, how was he allowed to live as a free man for 40 more years?
Well, for a while, they actually thought Seal was dead. But initially, he and Charles Marcus Edwards were charged with the crime of kidnapping and murdering the two youths. That was 1964, not too long after they disappeared. However, in January of 65, the charges were dropped by the state and the feds, the federal government, very interested in that time at pursuing the crimes in Neshoba County of Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, did not pick up on the case. So it sat there for 43 years. It basically was forgotten.
How did Seal come back to the public's attention?
Actually, ABC News 2020 program, the producer and Connie Chung got on this case after they had successfully unearthed another Klan murder case, and which was successfully prosecuted. They were in Mississippi. They started looking, and they got a hold of the files on it, and they did a public show on it.
You write a lot about the Justice Department prosecutor, Paige Fitzgerald. This, in no way, was an open and shut case for her, right? I mean, she faced a lot of challenges. Some of the evidence was old. People had died, as you say. How was she able to pull this off?
In most of these cases where they are trying Klansmen for the crimes of the 60s, there was a previous trial, so they had the transcript of the testimony, and they could actually read that transcript out in front of the jury. In this case, there was no previous testimony. Mm-hmm. So she had basically an informant statement. She had an alleged confession by Seal.
This is a confession that he made. This is a confession he made at the time.
He said, well, yeah, I did it, but you're going to have to prove it. They got that into evidence. They got Charles Marcus Edwards, one of the co-conspirators and killers, was allowed to testify, and they were trying to get the informant's statement in. That was like double or triple hearsay, and with that wasn't allowed in, so she really just had Edwards saying what Seal had told him 40 years earlier, which is a pretty slim read, really.
I mean, as you say, her whole case hinged on this man Charles Marcus Edwards, himself a former Klansman, who then goes on to express remorse for what happened. Was it genuine in your view when you saw it?
It was very convincing. Edwards really was the one who set the whole crime in motion. And at one very dramatic moment in the trial, he turns to the family members of the two boys that were murdered and says, "I apologize for what I did. I ask your forgiveness." And very dramatic moment, and to me, very convincing.
Throughout the trial, Harry McLean, there were plenty of people in Mississippi who argued that James Ford Seal was old, in poor health, and that the case really shouldn't have been pursued.
What was interesting about that argument was you heard it from a wide variety of people. I heard it from urban whites, from rural whites. I heard it from blacks who said, you know, we really need the resources that are being brought to this trial to deal with contemporary problems we have in Jackson, the crime and drug problems there. The other rationale for it was that God will be the judge. It's not up to us to judge. But I think the overwhelming sentiment was that they should be prosecuted. You heard a lot of white people say, well, yeah, I mean, justice should be done, but, and you didn't feel that they very much believed it. They just kind of felt like, well, yeah, let's get it over with.
So in a sense, did it allow a certain segment of Mississippi society to feel maybe absolved, that in a sense the state was or had come to terms with its past?
I think it's one step, and I think everybody realizes that, and that's the right thing to do. But I don't think anybody has a sense that coming to terms with their past is over because of this.
Harry McLean is the author of the new book, The Past Is Never Dead, The Trial of James Ford Seal and Mississippi's Struggle for Redemption. He joined me from Denver. Mr. McLean, thanks.
Thanks very much for having me.
And you can read an excerpt of Harry McLean's book at our website, npr.org.